4 weeks ago today, an earthquake devastated Port-au-Prince and other areas in Haiti. NPR Mexico City correspondent Jason Beaubien was among those to rush to the scene to report on rescue and recovery, on medical care for the injured, distribution of food and water, and the government's struggle to reestablish essential services. If you have questions for him about what he saw and what he reported on, give us a call, 800-989-8255. Email us, talk@npr.org. You can also join the conversation on our website. That's at npr.org. Click on Talk of the Nation. Jason Beaubien with us here today in Studio 3A. Nice to have you in Washington, Jason.
It's good to be here in Washington.
And you reached Haiti the day after the earthquake, which was, what, 4 weeks ago tomorrow?
It was actually took one whole day after the earthquake to get in, and then on Thursday, our photographer David Gilkey and I drove in from Santo Domingo in the Dominican Republic.
And what did you see after you crossed the border?
What was really striking was you came across the border and things looked fairly normal in Haiti. And in the Dominican Republic, which obviously shares that island, you weren't seeing really any damage at all on that side. And you weren't seeing much damage until you really got to the outskirts of Port-au-Prince. And then as you got closer and closer into the heart of the city, things just got worse and worse and worse. And as we were coming in, there were people fleeing out. You saw people leaving, people trying to get out of the city. But it was amazing how, as you penetrated deeper into the city, the damage just got worse. There was more, there were more dead people. The buildings were in worse shape. It was almost as if a bomb had went straight to the heart of Port-au-Prince.
That kind of devastation, there's just nothing to compare it to.
Really, I mean, I covered Africa for 4 years. I covered the tsunami. And this story hit me in a way that other stories just haven't, in part because of the concentration of the destruction, the fact that there were so many dead people, there were so many people with nowhere to sleep at night, everything in the city, in parts of the city, absolutely everything was destroyed. It was very intense. It was probably the most intense story that I think I've ever covered in my career.
And not to belabor a point, but the government in Haiti was not described as efficient before the earthquake. And is it fair to say it's in ruins now?
Certainly the physical structure of the government is in ruins. Many government officials also died. That week right after the quake, there was this sense of just a country completely adrift, that the UN had also really been knocked back on its heels. Its main compound suffered significant damage. The head of the UN had died in the actual quake. It was kind of unclear at that point where was President René Préval. There was this sense of a country that had both been devastated, that was in ruins. There were, as I say, dead people everywhere, people sleeping outside, and this sense that the country was leaderless.
Has that abated since?
I think to some degree the Haitian government has come back and made it clear that they've set up at a police station out by the airport, made it clear that they are going to attempt to lead this effort. Also, the international community has rallied and shown that they're going to try to work on this in a manner of consensus. But you never felt, while I was there in the first 2 weeks, that there was one person who was going to be the Rudy Giuliani for this disaster, that was going to be somebody that people could rally around. And I went to the funeral of the archbishop. It was actually not the first Sunday, but the second Sunday after the quake. And people chased President René Préval out of that funeral, shouting, "Aristide, Aristide." And Aristide is in exile in South Africa at the moment. So there was
the former president.
The former president, Aristide. So this sense that there was great discomfort with Préval and disappointment in how he was leading things.
The situation for the aid as it came in, clearly, it came in too slowly.
It came in too slowly, but at the same time, the logistical challenges were huge. And when you're there on the ground, you saw it. Just moving around that city was incredibly difficult. The earthquake had knocked buildings into the streets. The port was extremely damaged, and actually, they were using parts of the port, which later they've said they shouldn't have been using.
Because it was unsafe?
Because it was unsafe. The airport was down to one runway. The U.S. Air Force had basically taken over control of the airspace over Haiti to try to manage the flights that were coming in and out. And the road from Santo Domingo is not normally a road which you get heavy trucks coming over, because the relations between the Dominican Republic and Haiti are just stressed at best of times. And so basically you had this the city that was both in ruins and cut off.
We're talking with Jason Beaubien, NPR's correspondent in Mexico City, among those who rushed to Port-au-Prince after the earthquake 4 weeks ago today. 800-989-8255. Email us talk@npr.org. Bill joins us on the line from Atlantic City, New Jersey.
Yeah.
Bill, go ahead.
Yeah. My son is part of the 22nd Marine Expeditionary Unit. His unit, the battle group, I think Bataan Battle Group, got to Haiti within a week. I'm curious, how are they doing? How are the Marines doing in Haiti?
You know, there was very much a sense of, from the Haitians that I spoke to and from other people, that there was this desire for the U.S. to come in and just try to solve this. And the 82nd Airborne actually got in there quite quickly, and they were, in my opinion, the most effective at initially providing relief, getting food into a distribution system that was organized and was dependable. And they were moving food off of the airfield in helicopters and bringing it to this golf course and distributing it from there. I actually have to say that I did not see the Marines in the time that I was there, and that I actually focused in Port-au-Prince. Some of our reporters did go out. They were focusing further to the south towards Jacmel and that area, which is also heavily damaged during this earthquake.
Bill, have you heard from your son since he went to Haiti?
No, I have not, and that's why I'm calling. I'm trying to find out how they're doing.
Well, communication is actually terrible. In that area, in the beginning, even the cell towers weren't working. Communication was very, very difficult. And I'm not in a position to really say, because I never went and sort of focused on what the Marines themselves were doing.
Bill, we wish your son the best of luck.
Oh, well, thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye now.
All right. Let's go next to Ken. And Ken's calling us from Memphis.
Yes. I have an interest in the St. Vincent's monastery area where there was a school and the Episcopal Cathedral. A number of us here in West Tennessee prepared food under the Stop Hunger Now program that was distributed and sent down there prior to the hurricane, and I understand that it was utilized as some of the initial feeding for some of the people. But did you have an opportunity to see that area of the city?
I didn't see that particular area. In what part of Port-au-Prince is that?
It was near, the school was physically near the Episcopal Cathedral, which I understand was like a block or two away from the Catholic Cathedral.
That area was quite hard hit. I actually, just in my mind, at times it's very difficult to sort of even picture where particular things were. Quite frankly, I cannot remember seeing the Episcopal Cathedral. It may have been completely destroyed. The Catholic Cathedral was partially standing, but totally destroyed, but parts of the walls were still standing.
All right, thank you.
Ken, I'm sorry we couldn't give you more information, and it may be some time before that information is available.
It's true.
Yeah, it's going to be... have people been able to, for the most part, reestablish contact with relatives and find out, is my uncle alive? Is he hurt? Where is he?
No. The breakdown in communication was really quite incredible. And, I mean, even where people might in the past go to internet cafes to talk to their relatives, most of those were destroyed as well. As soon as they opened up the Western Unions again, there were huge crowds of people trying to get into the Western Unions, even just to find out whether possibly their relatives had sent them some money via Western Union. And again, it was partly just an overall breakdown in communication. People simply didn't know. Eventually, cell phones were working, so people who had cell phones could find that out. But then they needed to be able to charge them, and that was also a problem.
Electricity? There's no electricity?
No, there was no electricity.
There's also the question, and a lot of listeners have been interested in the case of the American missionaries who were arrested after they tried to take, I think 33 Haitian children across the border into the Dominican Republic. In what condition at the moment is the Haitian justice system? Is there a proper procedures possible? Is there a trial possible?
I mean, certainly they could put together a trial for these missionaries, but I have to say this is a huge unwanted distraction in a time of great disaster in that country. The Justice Ministry building was almost turned to powder. I mean, in terms of the buildings that were destroyed, that building was completely flattened. It was sort of sat next to the National Palace. Prisons had fallen down. There was efforts, and there were rumors that prisoners were just running wild. There was very much a sense that government structures, all of them, had completely collapsed along with the National Palace and the other buildings that fell down in that earthquake. So at this point, yes, if they need to have a trial, they could have one, but it is a huge distraction, and it's something that they're going to have to specifically set up a place to do this, and it's going to be difficult.
And you can now expect to be going back to Haiti from time to time, I suspect.
Yeah, in a couple of weeks, I'm going to be heading back.
And if there was one thing you could take back with you that would help people, what would it be?
You know, the amazing thing about this disaster was the number of times David Gilkey, our photographer, and I were sharing a vehicle mm-hmm. and driving around, the number of times we turned to each other and just said, how are they going to rebuild from this? How are they going to overcome this? How are you going to feed these people and house people in the days to come when the city is in such ruins? And it was really overwhelming. And I have to say, I don't have some clear answer of what it is, but I think leadership is obviously going to be key.
Thank you for your previous reports, and we'll look forward to your next ones. Jason Beaubien.
You're welcome.
Jason Beaubien joined us here in Studio 3A, back from Haiti. Coming up next, your letters.